Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Daled. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Tzadi Daled. I hope you will notice an inverted triangle around the name Rova. For those who enjoy counting lines, 28 lines from the top. As we indicated in our previous shiur, we are planning to go right into the Gemara. If you're a first-time listener, by all means, you will have to have listened to our previous shiur or learned the previous daf till this point to appreciate what Rava is about to do. So up till now, we saw Abaye presenting five Tanoim, all holding, in Abaye's opinion, that Shinui b'mkayim ha'imeid, that even though the item underwent a change, a major change, a permanent type change, that does not affect the status as far as the item was in its original state. And in the case of theft, for example, even though the thief may have subjected the stolen item to a significant change, that does not entitle the thief to keep the item and merely pay money instead, in accordance with the value at the time of theft, but he would have to give back the actual item. That is by way of, we'll say, letter of the law. There are other factors. We saw in our previous year the concept of takonas hashavim that may change matters, but by way of letter of the law, five tanoim that hold shinui b'mkayimai oimeid. And now Rava takes point for point each one of the tanoim Abaye cited, and undoes that. What do we mean by undoes that? So we'll see as we go along in the Gemara. Notice, first of all, we have a long marking where Rava makes his case, and within the text you see the continued use of double underlines as we had used in our previous shiur, highlighting the names of each one of those Tanoim. So now the Gemara, Omar Rava, Mimai, who is to say that all of those Tanoim, the five Tanoim, hold Shinui b'mkayimai oimeid. Dilma ad kan lo kom Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda hasam. It could be that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who spoke about change, and that Shinui oimeid, that's elo b'tseva. That's only with regard to the dyeing of wool, because that's simply not a permanent type change. Hayol v'yochol haviroi al yedei tzofun. The wool can be, the color, the dye from the wool can be removed through tzofun, a type of soap that would dissolve and eradicate the dye from the wool. So a change of that, we'll say, insignificant nature, that a change that can be reversed, undone, so that's a kind of change that won't affect the status of the item. However, if it were a permanent type change, even Rav Shimon ben Yehuda would acknowledge that it would change the status of the item. We're relying in our shir, as we mentioned earlier, on your having learned the previous section so you understand the context in which Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said his din. We continue. V'ad kan lo ko'amri be'shamai hosom. There, be'shamai, who spoke in the terms of the issue of esnan zona, he said his din only there, that the change is of, doesn't change the status of the item, where she was given wheat as the gift, as payment for her harlotry, and she made it into flour. There, it's restricted from use as a meal offering, Ella Lagavoa, because there you're dealing with offering to the Almighty, Mishum de Imis. The Imis limits, it's disgusting. There, when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash, the realm of holiness, we are more sensitive. So imagine an item that was used to pay the harlot for her services, and then the derivative used as a meal offering in the Beis Hamikdash, that we would classify as disgusting. And hence, there, and only there, would Beis Shammai say that the Shinui doesn't make a difference. But in general, a permanent type change would change the status. V'ad kan lo koma Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv Hosam. He spoke in terms of Chala, and the thief who stole raw wheat and made and converted it into a dough, which is a very significant change. And yet Rebbe Elazar ben Yankiv said there that he is not to, it's not worthy of a bracha. That's, he said his din there, elo l'inyan bracha, only with regard to a matter concerning a benediction. Mishum dahavi le mitzvah bo b'avera, because there you were dealing with a performance of a mitzvah, namely tithing the dough to give to a kohen, but it was a mitzvah that came through a sin, the sinful act of stealing the original grains. So, like we said before, with regard to matters of holiness, here with regard to brachas, we have a, we'll say, a higher standard. And since it's a mitzvah that comes through a sin, we don't acknowledge the change, and it retains its original status as a stolen item. But in general, if you're not dealing with a realm of brachos, a significant change would change the status of the item. V'ad kan lo ko'omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hosam elo b'hakosha dehoder. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who spoke in terms of an item that was stolen and depreciated, the thief can say, take your item back as it is, even though it underwent a change. That is true in the case of a shinui, that's hakosha, depreciation, the hoder, that can be restored to its original, more valuable, more improved state. So that's not a significant change, but a truly significant change of depreciation, where it cannot be restored to its original healthy state, the thief would not be able to say, take back your item, but rather the thief acquires it, and he would have to pay the original value at the time of theft. The ad kan lo ko'omar Rabbi Yishmael hasam. Rabbi Yishmael had spoken about separating the payah tithe even from dough, even though the payah is generally speaking separated from standing grains, but one might have thought that once it undergoes such a significant change as to being converted into dough, up till that point, even though the standing grains may be harvested and threshed and what have you, that's not really a significant change, Rashi points out. But once it's made into dough, you would have thought that's such a significant change that there's no further requirement of tithing the payah tithe for the poor. Ah, so why does Rabbi Shmuel say that even though it became dough, you give the payah tithe to the poor from the dough? So he said his din there, hosam elolinyan payah mishum dechsiv ta'azov yisera. As in the Torah, the word ta'azov appears as what might appear as an extra expression. The extra appearance of ta'azov demands the leaving of the payah, even if it reached the changed state of dough. But in general, shinui is kaina. Shinui acquires. Shinui changes the status. V'chiteima ligmar mine. You might say, well, why not use that as a precedent? That even though something undergoes a change, the change doesn't change the status, doesn't make a difference. Just like in the case of payah, why not learn from that? The Gemara says, matnois aniyim shaini. When it comes to the various tithes given to the poor, they are different. They cannot serve as a precedent for all other areas. Now, this statement of matnis aniyim shaini will be elaborated on within the next section of more that we have in brackets. On the side, we have a starred note, which we try to explain when we place brackets in a Gemara. We try to explain why we did it, what is their purpose. So we have a starred note, and it reads as follows: Hesber Hasograim. Simlev Shiofiu Post Sograim Tov Sograim. Take note that there will be an additional bracketed section. We call it brackets within brackets. Hasograim Einam L'Shem Dilug. First of all, the brackets are not here for skipping purposes. Elo Matrosom Laharoi She'ad Kan Istayim Chuvas Rava. The main point here is to show that up till this point, Rava's response continues. In other words, it ends at this point. Ma Shemuva B'Soicha Sagrayim, that which is brought within the bracketed section, Muva L'Chazek Divrei Rava, is brought to, say, strengthen Rava's point, Shele Rabbi Shmuel, but derech klal shinui kainu matnas aniyim shiny. That in general, shinui does acquire, does make a difference. Does it would change the status? Often we'll talk about status of ownership, but the tithes given to the poor is a different area. Dechsiv etzlam taza v'yisera. When it comes to the Torah and its command of leaving various tithes to the poor, you find the word ta'azov repeated. Ta'azov means leave it, abandon it for the poor. And it appears, the word ta'azov appears in an extra form where you would have understood anyway from other psukim that you leave these various tithes to the poor. And nevertheless, the Torah adds the word ta'azov to make this point, that even though they underwent change, you have to leave them, tithe them anyway. Besocha sograyim mofim shte she'elois, shesheil Rabbi Yonason. Within the brackets, there appear two questions that Rabbi Yonason asks. Simonu horishon besograyim elu. The first question will be placed in these angular brackets. Kidei levoideid she'elu rishonu tshuvasum mish'elo hashniya. In order to isolate the first question and its answer from the second question. Kitshuva l'sheila rishona, as an answer to the first question. Yoyisu noyach lahasbir taimel shor bishmoel al pi hadichtiv tazov yisera. It'll be more comfortable to explain Rabbi Shmuel by offering as an answer the extra ta'azov that the Torah writes. Ukfi shagmora haviyo lifnei hasagraim. Just like the Gemara mentioned right before the bracketed section. So now with that rather elaborate introduction in mind, we turn to the Gemara. Kedaboi Rabbi Yonason. What we've mentioned up till now with regard to Rabbi Shmuel and Rava's explanation of Rabbi Shmuel, that we're not going to learn from Matnas Aniyim, they are different, as is illustrated by Rabbi Yonason's question. Deboi Rabbi Yonason, my time under Rabbi Shmuel. What's the basis of Rabbi Shmuel says that your mafresh peah, you leave the peah type even once you've made the grains into dough? And there are two possibilities. Aleph, O Dilma. The next line you see the scribble on it, O Dilma, base. Mishum de kosovar shinu inukina. Is it because Rabbi Shmuel has as a principle that shinui, changes, don't acquire? Don't acquire, in this case, on behalf of the owner, the dough to the extent that he no longer has to separate the payah, or I should say to the contrary, is it because he doesn't acquire the dough and as a result he has to leave the payah even from the dough because shinui change einoi kaina doesn't acquire oidilmo ba'alma kosova shinui kaina. Or maybe in general, Rabbi Shmuel holds that shinui does acquire. V'hacham yishum dechsiv tazov yisera. And here, in the case of peah, because the Torah has the extra word of ta'azov, expecting the owner to leave the peah anyway, even though shinui is kaina. If you were to take the first approach, that shinui is not kaina, well then, tazov yisera dekosav rachmona lomali. What's the purpose of the Torah placing the extra word tazov? In general, shinui would not be kaina, so of course you would have to leave the peah, separate the peah from the dough. So you can see that it's more comfortable, as we indicated in our introductory remarks, that the basis of Rabbi Shmuel is, like Rava claimed, in general, shinui is kaina. Why the peah, even at the dough stage? Because of ta'azov yisera. Vesu, another question. Le Rabbonon, ta'azov yisera dekosav rachman olamali. According to the Rabbonon, who said, and we saw their ruling earlier, that once the grains reach the dough stage, there is no peah separation. What does the Torah mean when it adds the word tazov, the extra tazov word? What's it teaching me? So we answer that question. The Rabbonon would use tazov to tell me the following. Hamafkir karmo, a person who renounced ownership of his vineyard, the hishkim laboiker ubotroi, and woke up early in the morning before anyone took possession of the renounced ownership vineyard. The owner wakes up in the morning and ubotro and harvests it. He's harvesting then, he's reclaiming from the state of Hefker this particular vineyard. Chayov beperet ubeolois ubeshikho bepeah. He has to leave these different types of tithes that are vine, grapevine related. There are four tithes, peret, olos, shichon, and peah. And why must he leave them, even though, in general, something that is hefker is not obligated in tithing? The reason is because the word ta'azov appears as an extra word, expecting, even though he's harvesting from a vineyard that essentially was hefker, you have to leave these tithes. Upoter mina meiser, but the meiser tithe, in fact, is exempted, because from one who harvests from an unowned vineyard is exempt. Hefker is exempt from the need for tithing the meiser tithe. So we see the use of the word tazov, certainly according to the Rabbonan. Omar, Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Shmuel rules like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who said above in the case, and we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text, you can relate to the source above where he appeared, a thief who stole an item and it depreciated, it depreciated in quality, in value and quality, the thief can say to the victim of the theft, take your item back. And a ruling like that would seem to indicate shinui eino kaina. The fact that it underwent a change doesn't change the status, doesn't cause it to be acquired on the part of the thief. Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi. Does Shmuel really rule thusly? V'homar Shmuel, ein shomen. The word shomen means to make an evaluation of an item. Ein shomen, lo legana v'lo legazlan, elo lenezikin. Imagine a thief stole an animal, and it died. We're not going to evaluate the carcass and then give the carcass back to the original owner and let the thief simply pay the balance. But rather, the thief has to come up with a brand new animal, a totally new, good quality animal that corresponds to that which he stole. What do you see from this? You see that Shmuel holds that shinui is kaina. The animal he stole, a living animal, it's now a carcass. It underwent a significant, irreversible type change. He acquires the carcass. That is, the thief acquires the carcass, and he has to pay in terms of a new healthy animal to make amends for his theft. The concept of shomin, of evaluation, that has relevance to the case of Nezikin, where damage was imposed to an item, but let's not dwell on that. That's not our topic right now. So can we make sense of Shmuel? On the one hand, he rules like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, which would indicate to us that Shinui is not Kina. And here, the same Shmuel is issuing a ruling which would seem to say Shinui is Kina. Bishlama l'Rava, if we accept Rava's approach that we saw above, that in general, Shinui is Kina, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Shinui is Kina. So, Bishlama l'Rava, the Omar, ki kam Rav Shimon Elazar hasam, where does Rav Shimon Elazar say that Harei shelcha lefanecha, which would have indicated that Shinui is not Kina? That's b'hakosha d'hoder. That's where the depreciation is reversible. It's not considered a shinui. Lo kashya. Then there's no stira, there's no contradiction in the Shmuel rulings. Ki komar halach Rav Shimon Elazar. When did Shmuel rule like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? The shinui ben kaima emeid. When does he say that? B'hakosha d'hoder. Shinui ben kaima emeid would mean the shinui doesn't make a difference. The shinui doesn't change the status. Oh, that's in the case of a hakosha of depreciation, the hodah, that's reversible. So it's not a significant change. The chikomar Shmuel hosam ein shomin lo leganav lo legazam el nezikin. And the ruling of Shmuel that says we don't make evaluations with regard to different kinds of thieves, namely that shinui is kaina, that shinui does acquire, hakosha do lahodah. That's in the case of a type of depreciation that's irreversible, like case of the animal dying or it breaks its leg. Ela labaye de Omar, but according to Abaye that says ki komer Rav Shimon Elazar, that Rav Shimon Elazar says that shinui is not kind of that shinui doesn't acquire behakosha de lohadar, even in a case of a major shinui, a major change, a major type of depreciation. Thief can say, Harei shelcha lefanecha, take your item back, indicating that shinui is not kaina. My ika lemeimar. Then how are we going to resolve the seeming contradiction in the Shmuel rulings? How can Abaye explain Shmuel as saying ein shomen laganov, that ruling would indicate that shinui is kaina? Abaye masni hochi. Abaye, in presenting Shmuel, presents or teaches him thusly. Omar Vihuda, Omar Shmuel. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Omru halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. V'lei lo svira lei. Shmuel, in referring to Rav Shimon Elazar, wasn't reflecting his own opinion. Shmuel was saying, they say the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that shinui is not kaina. But Shmuel himself doesn't hold like that. Shmuel himself holds that shinui is kaina, like his ruling where he said, ein shomen lo legana v'lo legazlan. Before we go ahead in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, the call under the Nosei, which reads, Shnei L'shoinois B'Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to see two versions of Rabbi Yochanan. Mahu din hatoiro legabi hachzoras gezeilo anishtanis. What is the Torah expectation, the Torah law, regarding an item that was stolen and underwent change? Does the item, is the item returned as it is? Or do we say that the change represents the thief acquiring it, and hence he would not be, he would pay then cash, the cash value of the item that he stole? And Alma Chal Takonas Hashovim. We'll also discuss, when do we apply the special enactment to encourage thieves to repent? The issue of Takonas HaShovim is a point we've discussed in the past, where we are interested in a thief repenting, but under certain circumstances, if the thief is going to have to lose something of significance, of significant value to him, he's not going to have a sufficient motivation to return. So Takonas HaShovim would be a special allowance for the thief to pay the cash value of that which he stole, and not to lose out on the improved item, the item that he may have improved. We now turn to the Gemara. Omar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Reb Yochanan, Devar Torah, Gzeilo Hanishtanis Chizeres Be'enei. From the Torah's perspective, and a stolen item, even if it underwent significant change, even if it's a permanent change, that item is to be returned to the owner. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Veheshiv es hagzela asher gozal mikol makom." The Torah pasuk says, "You shall return the stolen item, the stolen item that you stole, under all circumstances," indicating that ein shinoi kaina, shinoi does not acquire. V'im toimar mishnasenu. Well, what about our Mishnah? We saw in the Mishnah, even though a man stole wood and fashioned it into vessels, which would give us the impression that shinui, an irreversible change, does acquire. We saw that the Mishnah ruled he pays the value of the raw wood. So, as far as that's concerned, the Mishnah doesn't reflect the Torah expectation, but it's a special allowance, Mishum Takonas HaShovim. It's a special allowance to encourage thieves to repent. So, on a Torah level, according to this approach, no matter what kind of change was made, even if it's a drastic, irreversible change, it has no effect on the status of the stolen item. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah does not reflect a Torah-level teaching, but rather a special rabbinic enactment. Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say thusly? Namely, that let us say there's no issue of Takonas HaShovim, is Rabbi Yochanan saying that Shinui is not Kaineh? That Shinui doesn't acquire v'omer Rabbi Yochanan locha k'stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that we rule like the stam mishnah. Stam mishnah is an unnamed mishnah, which is generally thought to be authoritative. Utnan, and in that sense, we have an unnamed mishnah, meaning the author's name is not present, and it has to do with rachis, I guess, the law we spoke about quite extensively in our previous year, literally the first shearings, that when an owner of sheep shears his flock, a certain amount is given to if there's a certain amount of shearings, so a portion of that is given to a kohen. That's called rachis, I guess. And it says there, lo hispik litnoi loy ad shetzavoy potter. If the owner didn't give the wool to the kohen until he dyed it, he's then exempt. Now, here there's no issue of theft that would warrant a discussion concerning Takonas HaShovim. Here you have a basic, we'll say, Torah-level discussion, Torah-level law, and the dyeing of the wool exempts the owner from giving the tithe. Why? Because we say the owner thereby acquired it, and it's no longer relevant to the Kehanim to collect. So in simple words, we see Shinui Kehne even on a Torah level. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say before that on a Torah level, Shinui does not acquire? So this is a very strong question. On the heels of this question, Omer Lu Ahu Mid Rabbonon Rabbi Yankov Shmei, one of the rabbis, and Rav Yankov by name, said, The issue was explained to me by Rabbi Yochanan in the following. Kegoin shegozal eitzim mishupin vasoin kelim. The Mishnah that spoke in terms of payment of demei eitzim, which is the value of the wood that he stole. The Mishnah is a din that reflects takonas hashovim. The takonas hashovim was stated when the thief stole already smoothed out wool, wood, smoothed out wood, formed a vessel. Imagine he formed a box, a crate from slats of smoothed out wool. Dehavele shinui hachoizir lebriyoso. That's a type of change that's reversible. You can undo. You simply detach the slats and you have back once again exactly what the thief stole. However, a shinui that's not chozer, an irreversible type of shinui, the thief pays the original wood value even without the takonas hashovim consideration. Because on a Torah level, this kind of change is kone. Notice the change in this presentation from the first presentation. According to the first presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, he said that Dvar Torah, on a Torah level, even a drastic change does not make a difference. According to this presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, a drastic change, a change, an irreversible change, does acquire shinui kaina regardless of takonas hashovim. Takonas hashovim applies even in cases where the change is reversible. What about Rabbi Yochanan in the first version? Rabbi Yochanan in the first version said that takonas hashovim will apply in cases where it's an irreversible change. On the side of the Gemara, we have an attempt to present the two Lashonos. Notice we have a double star, and I've written Nira Lefian Azdaiti. It appears to me a summation of these two Lashonos, Sikum Shnei Lashonos to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Lashon number one, Dvar Torah, Shinui Einokene Klal. Shinui, change, doesn't have any effect on changing the status of an item. Afili Shinui She'enoi Chozer, even a permanent change doesn't make a difference. The second point we saw under Roman numeral number one, Takonas HaShovim, the enactment to encourage thieves to repent. Im Shino Shinui Gadol Kainu Mishalim Rak Demei Eitzim. Takonas HaShovim has relevance only if the thief created a major change, a type of irreversible change, then we have a special allowance for the thief to pay merely the value of the wood that he stole. Number two, Roman numeral two, the second presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, said that Devar Torah, on a Torah level, Shinu Sheinu Chozer Kleina, a permanent type change, acquires. And by the way, as far as the question raised from Reishis Hagez, there you had the wool was dyed, and let's assume it was a permanent type of wool dyeing, he's exempt from giving the Reishis Hagez tithe, wool tithe to the Kohen, because that's a shinui, that's an irreversible type of change, and on a Torah level that acquires, hence the owner has acquired the wool for himself. As far as takonas hashavim, when does that have applicability? Afilu shinui shechoyzer kaina umishalim demei eitzim bilvad. even a reversible type change, we have an allowance for the thief to pay the value of the original stolen item and keep the changed item, the item that he changed, even though it happens to be a reversible kind of change. And with Lashon number two, with this second approach in mind, so there are no questions that we're going to raise against Rabbi Yochanan. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new Tanaic source presented, Tanu Rabbanan, Hagazlonim Umalvei Baribis Shechziru Ein Mekablin Mehen. Thieves and Malvei Baribis are people that loan, extend loans with interest. Interest bearing loans are strictly forbidden. When a Jew extends a loan to a fellow Jew, he is forbidden to accept an interest payment to receive any more in return than that which he loaned out initially. Those people who do thusly are called malvei, lenders, baribis, ribis being interest. So thieves and interest lenders, shechziru, ein mekablin mehem. If they should want to return the items that they wrongfully took or the money they wrongfully took, we're told not to accept from them. And one who does accept from them, so the spirit of the sages is uncomfortable regarding them. They people like that who do accept are not considered pious. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimei Rabbi Nishneis Mishnah Zu. What we just taught was taught in the days of Rabbi. In other words, Rebbe made a special enactment, Desanya. And here we have the background. Maisev Adam Echad Shebikesh Lasas Tshuva. There was a man who desirous of repentance. Amale Ishto, his wife said, Reka, you empty person, Imata Isa Tshuva, if you do penitence, Afilu Afnet Eino Shelcha. Even your belt is not yours. Everything he had was stolen. So if he's going to repent, he's going to have to return all his clothing, including his belt. And as a result, he didn't repent. At that point, they enacted. They ruled. When a thief wants to repent and return the stolen item or the lender wants to return the interest, don't accept it from them. In other words, here you're giving them a chance to do an act of return of in effect repent, and at the same time they are not going to end up and like that guy would be standing stark naked, because the victims of the theft would not be accepting the items in return. And one who does accept from these penitent thieves, so the spirit of the sages is not comfortable with them. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading we've already started, and it reads, "Hamakabel migazin umalvei baribus shireitzin lachzir ein ruach hachomim noicheimenu." One who accepts from penitent thieves and loan sharks, the spirit of the sages finds a sense of discomfort. Under the structural note, the Mivneh, you notice a triangle that appears. The triangles are Nisyonis Lahakshis al Ha'amur Banosei. These are attempts to question that which we've said. So we continue in the Gemara. Meisvei, Hiniach Lohem Aviem Mois Shoribis. A man died. This man happened to have extended loans for interest. The afalpi shehein yoidin shein ribis ein chayovim lahachzir. Even though they know that the loans were interest bearing loans, the heirs, do not have to return. They don't have to return the interest that their father had collected in a prohibited fashion. The children don't have to return. And now we infer, inu hu delo, the heirs don't have to return. Ho aviem chayv lachzir, but their father would have had to return the interest. So you said above that, well, if they want to return, we don't accept from them. Here it seems that they do have to return. The third of the Rashi commentary, Ein Chayoven Lahachzir. The heirs don't have to return. Dichtiv Eishivas Agzela Shogozal. The thief is to return that which he stole. Vahani lo gozel midi. The heirs didn't steal anything. Dekoninu b'shini rishus. In fact, they acquire through the change in terms of domain. V'kosover shus yirish k'rishus l'tiach domi. The thinking of behind this source is that the domain of an heir is like the domain of a purchaser, so that you can have a situation of a thief who stole something, and in the meantime, the owner gave up hope, and the item was transferred to a purchaser. We call that gezel with shinui rishus. The purchaser is entitled to keep the item. So too, the heirs are said to have benefited from the shinui rishus, the transition of domain. So the Gemara goes on to answer. Bedin hu daviyam nami eino chayav lahachzir. In truth, their father also does not have to return the item. Not just the heirs, but the father as well doesn't have to return the item. V'hadikatoni bedidhu, the fact that the source seems to focus on them, on the children, mishum dekaboy v'misni seifa, because that Tanaic source has a continuation, and in the continuation, there's a law that needs to focus on the children. It says, hiniach lohem aviem para vitalis v'chol davar mesuyam, if their father, the thief, left for them a cow, a garment, or any other item that's recognizable to the public, dovar hamesuyim, something that the public would recognize, chayovim lahachzir, the heirs have to return it, mitnei kvod aviyim, because of the honor of their father. So in the seifa, we see a case in point where the heirs do have to return. Therefore, tono reisha nami bididhu, the reisha also focuses on them, but not for the purpose of making an inference that they don't have to return, but their father would. As you can see, we now have a bracketed section. Following the bracketed section, you'll notice another triangle. We have a little note, a starred note, which reads, Achrei HaSugrayim, after the brackets, HaGemara Mamshicha LaHakshis, the Gemara will continue to question, Al Ha Damrinon, the Ein Mekablim Mehem. We said above that we're not to accept items returned by Gazlonim and Malvei Ribis. We're going to then ask on that after the brackets. B'soicha Sugrayim, within the brackets, HaGemara Mevareris, the Gemara will clarify, Haim Yesh Tzorich Lachshis L'Chvoid Aviyim. Is there really a need to concern themselves with the honor of their father? We saw in the Seifa that if the father left something that's recognizable to the public, it would be obligatory for the heirs to return it to the victim, so as to preserve the dignity of their father and not have their father bad-mouthed, have a tarnished reputation after his demise. Here, the heirs have items stolen by their father. So now the Gemara, within the brackets, says, "Umipnei kvod aviyim chayovim lahachzir." Is that really a consideration that, out of in order to preserve the dignity of their father, so they have to return items their father stole? Ikri kan, why not refer to this situation the following pasuk and teaching? It says, "V'nosi b'amcha lo yisor." A leader amongst your nation, that thou shall not curse. And the pasuk used the word ba'amcha, and we darshan ba'oisa ma'isamcha. When are you for, when you prohibited to curse him? When he is a proper individual. Not so with regard to a rasha, to someone who is wicked, like a thief. There, I don't have any obligation to maintain their respect or dignity. So how, in the source, just the four lines up, do we say that the heirs have to return the part of a talis or any dovra mesuyim because of the honor of their father, but their father's a thief? The Gemara answers, Ki d'omer Rav Pinchas, as Rav Pinchas says elsewhere, b'sha'asa tshuva, under circumstances that he repented, hachanami b'sha'asa tshuva. So too, in the source above, we're talking about a man who repented. Oh, a man who repented. So the children have to concern themselves with their father's dignity. He also tshuva my boy gabe iboy le lauduri. If their father had done tshuva, had repented, what's the stolen item doing by him and by his heirs? He should have already returned it. The Gemara answers, he was on his way to return it. However, shelo hispik lahachzir ad shemes. He didn't have a chance to do the actual return until he died. So, if you're dealing with a man like that, that had certainly expressed his remorse and intention to return the item, and for technical reasons didn't have a chance to return it, technical reasons being that he died, so then the heirs do have to concern themselves with kavod aviem, with the honor of their father. Toshma, the triangle, as we said before, indicates that we're bringing into question the teaching above that said that you don't accept in return items that the thief or loan shark is trying to return. Tosh maha gazlonim umalvei berivis afopi shegovu machzir. Now here we have a case where the reading of this original source is not doesn't make sense, and the Gemara questions that gazlonim mai shegovu he gazel gazel he lo gazel lo gazel. How do you speak about gozu, govu is a term meaning collected. What does the term collected have to do with a thief? If something is stolen, if he stole something, it's stolen. If he didn't steal, he didn't steal. Elo ema, rather the correct reading is hagazlonim, the thieves. Umay niu, and who are the thieves we want to refer to right now? Malve ribios, loan sharks. Afalpi shigavu, even though they collected, and here the term collecting has relevance. Someone who collects a loan, even though they collected their loans with the interest, machzirin, they are to return. So you see from here that they have to return, and part of returning indicates that the victim will be accepting it, will be taking it back. So the Gemara says here, Amri machzirin v'ein mekablin mehem. It's true, they return, but that doesn't mean that the victims have to accept it. No, they don't accept it. Eloloma machzirin, so then why do they return? Lotseisi de shemaim, they go through the motion of returning, the attempt to return, in order to fulfill their heavenly obligation of repentance. But as far as our teaching above is concerned, we're preserving that. They, the thieves or the loan sharks, might go through the process of procedure, the process of returning it, but we are not to accept from them. Toshma horoyim v'hagaboyin v'muchsin, shepherds, gaboyin, or tax collectors, or the collectors, Rashi says, "Gaboim shamelch ligvois kesef gugoltav arnona." These are tax collectors. They collect head taxes and other forms of tax. And Rashi adds, importantly, "Vishakli tfei." They take more than they're supposed to take, so they're in effect a type of thief. And muhsin meches is another kind of tax collector. Shuvasan kasha. Their chance of repentance is very difficult. Umachzirin lamakirin, and they return to those they know from whom they took too much, from whom they stole. In general, their repentance is difficult to achieve because they stole from the masses and they don't know specifically to whom to return. They don't know from whom they took too much and whom they didn't take too much. So what do we see in this source? We see that they are machzirin, they have to return. The Gemara says, Amri machzirin, v'ein mekablin mehem. As we saw just before, they do have to go through the motion of returning, but we don't accept from them. Ve'el olama machzirin. So then why do we teach that they have to return? Lotzeis yedei shamayim. To fulfill their heavenly obligation of repentance. Ihachi amai tshuvason kosher. Well, one question then is, if that be the case, what's so difficult about their doing repentance? V'oid amos seifa. And furthermore, state the continuation of the source. V'she'ein makirin yase bohen tzorchei tzibor. And those that they don't know from whom they stole, so then they are obligated to perform public acts of public benefit. V'yomer Rav Chisda, boros shichin moros. They would have to dig pits, different kinds of pits, boros shichin moros, different types of pits there, in effect serve as supplies, water supplies, water reservoirs for the public benefit. So we see from this that they certainly have to return. So that the source that began with Roim Vagaboyim and ended with the Eshein Makirin, it's not just a matter of just going through motions. It's going through motions, and the actual receipt does take place. Just like the public receives the pits, the private people that were approached. The victims that the thieves, that the tax collectors knew from whom they took too much, do apparently accept in return. So is that not then a question on what we said earlier? Lo kashya, no, there's no difficulty. And you see the diamond marking here is explained on the side under the mivnez, shnei tshuvas l'sheila achrona, two answers to this last question. Lo kashya. Kan kodem takona, kan leachar takona. That which it says machzirin, that's before the enactment that we indicated before in the days of Rebbe. So prior to Rebbe's enactment, they would return and we would accept. Kan leachar takona, the source above that said that though they may return, we are not to accept from them, that's after the enactment. The enactment to encourage thieves to do penitence, they will do so knowing that that the item they tried to return won't necessarily be accepted by the victim, and as we saw before, the person in the story above can continue being clothed. V'hashtu d'yomer of Nachman, and now that we have new information that the teaching of Rav Nachman, B'she'ein gezeila kayemes, Rav Nachman introduces a factor where the stolen item is no longer extant. Hafilu teima idi v'idi lachar takona. You can speak about the sources above as being all of the sources being after Rebbe's enactment. V'lo kashya, and still there's no contradiction. Where we saw in the under the last triangle, we saw that return is made, and we saw earlier that return and acceptance is not made. For Lokasha, there's no disagreement, there's no contradiction. We continue at the top of the Tzadi Pei. Kan b'gzeilo kayemes, kan b'she'ein gzeilo kayemes. If the stolen item is extant, so then the takona of Rebbe doesn't apply, and he has to return the item, the stolen item that is around. If the stolen item is no longer extant, so then Rebbe's takona applies. Question: Va'avneit the gzeilo kayemes he? The case involving the belt, which was the basis of Rebbe's enactment, is in fact something that is extant. So how can you say that if it's extant, so then the enactment doesn't apply? The Gemara answers, my avnate, the belt referred to in that source is demei avnate, means the value of a belt. It wasn't the actual belt that was referred to, but he had everything that he had acquired was stolen, including the money to buy a belt with. The Gemara continues. V'chol heicha d'gzeila kayemes lo ovid rabbona takanto. And where the a stolen item is extant, what the Rabbana did not institute an enactment allowing the thief to retain the stolen item. V'ha morish d'gzeilo kayemes hi. Morish is a beam, a wooden beam that's affixed into structures. So the case of the stolen beam is a case involving a stolen item that's extant, utnan, and concerning the borish, we have the following: al hamorish hagozel shebonu babira, a stolen beam that the thief used to affix into his bira, into his structure, into his house. Sheyitol domov mipnei takonis hashovim, the thief doesn't have to return the actual beam. The enactment, Rebbe's enactment says, let the thief return the value of it, the cash value of the beam, as an enactment, a special allowance to benefit the thief, to encourage him to repent. So here we have an example of an item that's extant, and yet Takonas HaShofim applies to it as well. The Gemara answers, "Shiny Hossam, that particular case is different. The Kevon Deikup say to the Bira, since the return of the beam would result in Pseida the Bira, the loss of the house, it was a beam supporting the structure. If you're going to expect him to return that stolen beam, true, it's extant, it's the original stolen item, but he's going to lose his entire structure. So Shavua Rabbonan Kidalesa, the Rabbonan viewed it." Shavua means they made it like they viewed it as if Kidalesa, as if it is no longer extant. But in general, an item that's still in existence, there we expect the thief to return the item itself. I want to just point out, if anyone felt a sense of, I'll say, discomfort regarding the ruling of Rebbe that thieves who try to attempt to return stolen items or loan sharks that want to return the interest, we are not to accept it. There's a very interesting tesis on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis, the second tesis on the page, Bimei Rebbe Nishneis Mishnazu. The Rabbeinu Tam approach is that it was a very short-term, one-time enactment that did not apply to previous generations nor to succeeding generations, only for his own generation. That's as far as the approach taken by the Rabbeinu Tam, with which he then explains so many other sources where we see that a stolen cases of theft where the items are returned and kept. So that's something that one might want to look into for further analysis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.